I've just so enjoyed this week. My wife caught me off guard. Amen. Back there tonight. Appreciate her standing up and thanking you. And we do mean that. Man, I promise, and I don't just mean it just because I'm up here and it's something to say. I preached quite a bit of revivals in my ministry, and I'm honest. And, you know, I've never been treated quite like we have around here. And we appreciate it. We really do. Not that we came thinking all these things needed to happen, but they did. And we're very grateful. I mean, even from the, you know, and you know what I'm talking about when I said those handshakes and the encouraging words, these testimonies. Each night, different nights, I've been able to just kind of pull in with some of the elders at different times and just have a few minutes of quick chatting. I enjoy all of that. And, you know, and I like to take time for elders as well. I'm planning on being one here down the road. Amen. I'm not trying to check out before I get my try at it. And I'm planning on, you know what, the Lord will let me. I'm going to be old, and I'm going to be a good one. I've told my wife I'm going to be a good old man. I get home, I don't ever want to leave the home. I don't ever want to go nowhere. I'm already in training. I'm going to be a good one. I don't want to do anything but stay at home. And but I have, you know, I don't ever want in my walk with the Lord get to the place. I feel like as we grow from young to old and everywhere in between, we should always be conditioning our replacements. Amen. We should be preparing somebody. I'm only 45, but there's people that are younger than me. They're going to follow me. I want to make the place that I'm at now ready for them when they get there and have them in a condition to where it's not, they don't have to learn it when they get there. They're already ready when the time comes. Amen. And if we do that at every stage of our Christian life, this work never goes old and it never quits and it never falters or fails. It just continues moving forward. It just changes people in the seat. Amen? Because you go from the youth to the young adult, from the young adult to the middle age, that middle age to the elder. And if each position does its job, there's never a hiccup. Amen. It'll just always continue moving. And I want to do my part, but you've blessed us from the young, from the small, all the way up to you elders, man. You've just blessed us this week. Amen. Some of you give monetary blessings. Some give me colorings and drawings and words written in children's handwriting on paper. They all hold a big value. Amen. All of them do. Because what that is each gave according to their ability. Amen. And I'm very thankful for it. So God bless you for that. And all that's been done. Even the parking space that we've been occupying this week, we found out tonight. When we pulled up, my wife said, "Is that a handicap spot?" I said, "It is." I guess depending on who you ask, it may have been viable that we were parking there. But we've been using up a handicap spot a good part of the week. And we backed out of there tonight and gave it up. So we didn't realize it. But God bless you anyway. And Pastor, man, and Sister Kayla just... they just really treated us good this week. And, you know, we might not have been altogether available at every point during the week, but they've made it to be, if you want us to be available, it's basically what I've got from them. If you want me to be available, that anything you want to do, I'm here. And the meals we have been able to share together and just getting to spend some time in fellowship, it's just been great. And we're very grateful for it. And, you know, and I'd like to teach on if you ask or believe in, you ask, you shall receive. But I'm going to steer my children a little bit away from it, from that request they had. Daddy's a Georgia boy. Amen. Oh, man, I'd have to learn a whole new language to move here. And no, I'm just picking. I've enjoyed it. I'm just taking a little bit of time tonight. It's Friday night, man. We're leaving in the morning. We're going to Georgia, and but I want you to know, man. We do. When I say I love you, people, I don't just say that because I'm here tonight and going tomorrow. Man, I love coming here. It's only my second time, but I just feel kind of like just among people. It's like me. We don't talk the same, but we love the same. Amen. And you've blessed us. And I want you to all know, every one of you, that you've impacted us. I'm thankful for it. Brother Nick, our time, man, we've had quite a few laughs, and we just enjoyed your company. Even down to the temptations of the Bass Pro today was the newest temptation, but man, he beat that thing. He knows, and we've had so much fun this week with him in our late night fellowship, even again this morning at breakfast and this afternoon together. And just, man, I like seeing young men that love God and just look like he's growing in the Lord. I appreciate your fellowship. And God bless you. Amen. We're down to this part of the service, and I believe that the Lord's going to help us tonight. And if I didn't cover anything, thank you. And from the young to the old and everything in between, we love you. Pray that the Lord will just flourish your church. Amen. If there's ever been a time that this world needs this place, we live in that time. Amen. And may your prayer be, God, wherever I fit in Abundant Life Tabernacle's work for the kingdom, help me accept my place and give my best at whatever it is. If it's seen or unseen, amen, help me to do my very best. And I promise you, God will flourish the work. Amen. He's never took a people that wanted to work and fired them. Amen. He puts us to work when we're ready to work, and my, the reward will be enough. You might not see it here, but heaven's got it waiting. Amen. So if we don't, you remember last year I talked about our brother that was ailing in health, and his statement always used to be, if I don't see you here, I'll see you over there. Amen. On our way home last year from here, he crossed that river. Amen. I got to preaching part of his funeral. Amen. So I'll share his statement with you. If we don't gather again here, I hope we can. Man, we love it. But if we don't, there's a longer revival waiting on the other side where we get to worship forever. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's go to Matthew tonight, if we can. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Let's start reading verse 36. It's another one of them I could say very familiar, but that, you know, maybe it is. But if it's not, we're going to read through here tonight. Matthew 26 and 36. Bible says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Now I'll read verse 43, maybe, and we'll go on. Or 45 and 46. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, be mindful of this. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. In other words, it's time to leave the garden. Let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Amen. A lot of reading tonight, I know. May even be even more coming forward. Amen. But I want to preach tonight, if the Lord would help me, on this thought, the garden. Amen. Just that simple thought, the garden. Now, I'm not the best with technology a lot of times. For the sake of not writing it all down and flipping around a lot of times, I try to have it where I could read it to you tonight, some scripture, and if it works out, I will. But how many of you tonight like a garden? Well, I do. I like a garden. And I thought of different kinds of gardens when I dwell on this. To some, you know, you'll see signs, or there's sometimes at the zoo, they'll have an area, they'll call it a botanical garden. Amen. They're beautiful places. And you know, and now children, they don't care much for them. That's kind of a little bit of a hurry up. Do we even got to go in there kind of thing for a child? They don't care anything about a flower. It doesn't matter how rare it is. And it doesn't matter how many different colors that have been infused into that flower that makes it so beautiful. But I have found this, that the older I get, maybe the more mindful I am of a botanical garden, if it's available to look at. I kind of can go in, I examine flower, but just look at them and how amazing they are. And so it's a little more enjoyable the older we get to look at that garden and enjoy the beauty of it. We don't see the worst part of the garden. We see the best part of the garden. That's the flower. Amen. Hey, way more to a garden than the flower. Thank God. And at the same time then, there are those of you, probably some of you that grew up, if it hadn't been for a garden, you wouldn't ate. Amen. You wouldn't eat vegetables anyway and produce of any kind if it hadn't been for a garden. And so that's a gardening that I do take liking to. I enjoy it. I have one of my own. Amen. And so I know it's coming up, getting ready to get to work. And some have already began in our area getting ready. Amen. For that gardening season, some of the hardest work you'll ever do is if you ever have a garden. You know, and people would come by our house and they would look, and you could see my garden when you'd come down the road up on the hill where I planted it at. And people would say, man, that garden's looking good, or it's beautiful up there. I had it. I tried to plant it out to where the things that I planted that would be low and grow on the ground, like cucumbers and watermelons and things of this sort, be up front. And then maybe some of my peppers and beans and peas and things of that would be next. And then I put the corn on the backside where you could see it when you come by. I've done all of these things. And you know, people would come by and talk about what it looked like up there. And then I talked about already this week about Lincoln liking peppers. And I ain't even got through my reading yet. And he done already changed addresses on me tonight. He's done he done asleep. Done that to me another night this week. Now after church, I asked him he'd been asleep. No, he ain't been asleep. Amen. Hair all matted up, but he hadn't been asleep. Amen. But nevertheless, he loves bell pepper. And he loves banana pepper. And I guess he loves any kind of pepper that's not hot. And so me and I come in, we go up there to that garden. Man, he couldn't hardly beat it. Them banana pepper be hanging down and bell pepper hanging down. And he don't wait till we get to the house and wash it. And I don't either. Amen. We just pick it off the plant, eat it, standing right there in the garden. We couldn't hardly grow enough to put up for eating them before we could get to the house with them. Just enjoying the fruits of the garden. Amen. And so, man, it's something after you put all that work in that people never came by and said, oh, man, that was a beautiful sight to come by and see sweat dripping off the end of your nose. They come by and say, that corn's looking good. And they never come by and say, you know, it, man, that looked good up there when you covered with dirt from head to toe holding that hoe in your hand. Those pepper plants look good. And so, but with that being said, that's what most everybody notices It's when the fruit comes forth. And that's what everybody notices. It's when the flower finally blooms. They don't say nothing to the gentleman or the lady that's after hours in their crawling hands and knees, digging around in that botanical garden and beautifying that thing. They don't come by and say, man, them muddy gloves sure are nice. They say, man, that whatever kind of flower you like in your, that lily's beautiful. Amen. They're giving honor to that visible thing in that garden. I've never known anybody that come in and say, man, those overalls sure are beautiful, all muddy and torn from crawling around in the garden. Never heard it from anybody. Amen. Unless it was your grandparents or your parents that done it and you've got it, what they left behind. I've got those treasures to hold on to. I've got some of my pawpaw's overalls. Wouldn't sell them for $1 million. And I mean that with everything. I might sell a pair like them for less than $1 million. Amen. But I wouldn't sell his for all the money in the world. Because to me, they're still his. And they still mean something to me. But I've never known anybody that when you go to the garden, you go to the zoo, and they got that little area that offshoots into that garden of flower. I've never had them have the gardener's gloves laying there for anybody to examine. I've never known of anybody when I went there to have the boots, the muddy boots, and the rake, and the little shovel, and the all of the material that we use and the tools that we use laying there. But all I ever see is the sign. It says it's all about the flowers, and it's all about the butterflies, and it's all about the corn, and it's all about the produce. You know, we present the product that was grown in the garden. Amen. But there's so much more to the garden. Do you know the only way that that ear of corn can live is there had to be a kernel of corn to die. That's the only way it happens. You won't get it no other way. You might get it in one of these tree-hugging science labs, but I can tell you it won't taste near as good as it did in Papa's yard. Amen. Doing it the way that God designed it to be. Amen. You can read, and I'm not going to go through all of them. Even in the very beginning of Scripture, in the book of Genesis, it talked about the Lord planted a garden. The Lord God planted a garden. What's the first thing he done when he got that garden planted? He put his greatest creation right in the middle of it when he put man there. So God seen that it was necessary and needful and profitable to man that I'm going to plant a garden, and it's a garden that people will talk about forever when we read of the beauty of it. It went so far as in one place, and I'll just summarize some of it. It said that it would grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food. Everything needful to man was where? In a garden that God gave us, amen, to use and to live by and to survive by, amen. And then he would go on down in Song of Solomon. We read that statement that's written, my beloved is gone down into his garden, amen. And so all from the very beginning, all the way up through that Old Testament, I couldn't have took the time tonight. I preached too long to read that much, amen, that there's a garden that's all along, it's plugged in the thought of a garden. Amen. But you know, all the time we read about it, it's about the spices and the herbs and the good things that that garden produces. And then we get all the way down to Matthew, and there it is again, a garden. And though it don't look the same, and this might be different tonight, this is what I got. Though it don't look the same as Song of Solomon's garden, as Solomon comes down and that conversation about that garden, it might not sound quite like Eden with God giving man everything he could have ever dreamed of as an asset to be in the creation. Here it is. You just take care of it. You just tend it. You just oversee it. But the garden that we read about in Matthew, everything about it, it's just like the garden in Eden. And just like the garden in Song of Solomon, and just like the garden all through the Old Testament, there's a seed that has to die so that there is a fruit that can come forth. Amen. And we find it where I read to you tonight. Amen. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus comes with all the world on his shoulders, and he gets Peter, and he gets James, and he gets John, and he invites them to a garden. Amen. And they go to that garden, and he begins to talk to them. And, you know, they're nothing like your mentor or somebody that you've got utmost confidence in talking to you from their heart. And I remember that the year that my pawpaw passed away, that they ended up having Christmas with him in November or somewhere along, and they knew he wasn't going to make it to Christmas. But while he still had just enough strength to abide with the family, to get from room to room. Now, I believe the night that he went to God, he put his own self to bed, laid down in that bed, woke up in a better world. Amen. But with all of that, we gathered with him there, and I remember it. I just felt to do it. I even believe that there were some there that wasn't a big fan of it. They didn't like the way I my thought process, but I felt that that was what was going to happen. And I made a statement to our family. And y'all know my Uncle Roger Luke, my Aunt Joan, and I've got all these people are there, not just in us, so some that you all know, a lot of you. But all of us were there, his children and grandchildren, and I mean there was a bunch. I asked him, give us a charge as a family. And I maybe made the statement, we won't ever gather like this again. That's what I felt. Some didn't like me talking like we wouldn't go there. Like he was, you know, he's 90-something year old. He's got lung cancer. Never smoked in his life. Worked in a factory where there's asbestos as a younger man. It run him down at 90, at 91 or 92, whatever it was. Finally ran him down. Amen. But that being said, I just felt like this is it. He's not over in this. You know, he can't live forever. He's the kind we wish could. But he's not going to be here forever. And the doctor done told him that this is what's going to take your life. I was there the day sitting in the place when the lady told him, that doctor told him, this is going to take your life. You know, and he just went on about his business. He accepted it. Maybe he wished it didn't have to be, but he accepted the fact. I'm getting ready to leave here now. And so I asked him to give us a charge. And oh God, did he ever give us a charge as a dying man to a family. But that day when we got ready to leave, we had to say goodbye. We couldn't stay there forever. And when I went to leave, I believe it's the final words he ever spoke to me on this planet. He said, love the gospel. Till I leave this life, that'll be a word I won't ever forget. My pawpaw, greatest man I ever knew, told me, the oldest grandchild, love the gospel. That's the last words I ever remember him saying. I left, and I was gone, and I remember late in the night, one night I got that text that he was gone. But I hinged on his words. So with that being said, Jesus is there. He looks at Peter, James, and John, and he begins to unfold to them. My heart's heavy. Oh, Pastor, I can just see them start focusing in. I believe they know this isn't an ordinary conversation. Tonight's different. Something different's going on. And he begins to let them know, even unto death, my heart's heavy. Yes, how you reckon why you felt such a way? I can tell you why. It was going to be a 23-year-old runaway one day that was going to need some help. And I was weighing heavy on him that night. And whether you'd like to admit it or not, you ain't always been righteous. You was weighing heavy on him. And he said, I'm sorrowful unto death. He said, Brother Smith, this ain't got nothing to do with the garden. Oh, it's got everything to do with it. In that moment, he asked them, Pray with me. Help me. I'm weary. Listen, folks. He's fixing to do something nobody's ever going to be able to do again. He's fixing to have to attempt to pay for the sins of the whole world. Before and after. Yes, that don't even sound feasible. I agree. But he's going to do it anyway. He's going to try his best, dead level best, by himself, to buy you out of hell and to buy me out of hell. And that's weighing on him. And that's burdening down. And where a better place for it to happen than the garden? For a garden, something has to die so that something else can live. And that night, you say, but he died on Calvary. No, he died in that garden. When he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Calvary was conquered right there. He said, I don't quite understand. I'll tell you how I feel in my heart. That when Jesus went that first time and asked, in my own words, if there's another way this can happen, Father, would you let it happen? It'd be wonderful if I didn't have to be murdered. It'd be wonderful if I didn't have to take the whipping I'm fixing to have to take. It'd be wonderful if I didn't have to be embarrassed in front of the whole world. But if I've got to be beat to an unrecognizable condition, marred beyond visage, what the Bible said, right? If I have to have a crown platted on my head, that those thorns go into my head so far that it swelled my face beyond recognition because of the effect of the thorn, then I'll do it. I don't want to have to do it this route. I don't mind loving them to death. I don't mind saving them from sin. But if there's another route, it'd be favorable. But nevertheless, thy will be done. He's dying while he's yet alive. What's dying, preacher? His will. His ways, his thoughts, his desires, that he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. You said, but the cross is the worst thing that would ever happen. I agree. But I believe he had the cross whipped before he ever got to it. I believe he had the whipping post. How do you know? Because he didn't even argue when he got there. Never opened his mouth. When they asked him, is that who you are? Are you who they say you are? Are you the king of the Jews? Thou sayest it. He wasn't no need to argue. He didn't have anything to prove. Amen. Only an argumentative man feels like he needs to speak. Amen. Only a man that feels like he's got, like there's a battle that's still to be won has got something to say. But he never had a word to say. Can you imagine standing there being slapped in the face in front of the world and just stand there and look at him with nothing to say? I believe his eyes said more than his mouth would have ever had to. Amen. When he looked them in the eyes, I believe they're slapping him, asking him questions that they know the answer to. I believe when Pilate asked him the question, that Pilate knew the answer, and I know Pilate's wife knew who he was, because it bothered her for what was going on, and she lost sleep in the process of what was going on. But what am I saying tonight? There had to be a garden before there was ever a cross, because in the cross is where he accepted the perfect will of the Father, and in the garden is where he got to the place. You said, but man, he was lonely on the cross. Yeah, I know. He conquered it in the garden when he prayed alone, and he went to the disciples who were his closest of friends, and he recognized they're not praying with me. Listen to me tonight. I'm not going to stop with Jesus. I'm coming to your garden when I leave his garden. Sometimes you got to do it when nobody else will. Sometimes you got to seek him when nobody else will. And he loved the Father enough that he done it when nobody else would. Peter's asleep and Peter betrays him. John's asleep and John runs. Peter, James, and John, they're there. They're all asleep, but they all run when trouble comes. They were in the garden too. They slept their way through it. And he prayed his way through it. That's what he said. That'd preach. I need to add that. They slept their way through it. He prayed his way through it. That way, when they stood that cross up, they were somewhere in the dark. Peter's lying. I don't know him. James and John's just running, scared. But Jesus says, after that third time, sleep on. In other words, I've conquered loneliness. I've conquered fear of dying. I've conquered my will. I've conquered me. I told y'all, I'll say it right one more time here before we leave. This 140-pound man is who I have to conquer before I can ever flourish for God. There's some people it's not hard to find out. My wife told me on the way over here tonight, I'm not driving anymore. Whew. All this, you know, when I was kind of giving my ideas of what was going on, she let me know. I said, I'm not going to drive no more. Well, it's Friday night. But sometimes, I was with my girls in a store one day this week. And a man said something to them. Listen, y'all, now I might be a preacher, but I still got skin on my bones. And he said something to them. I felt it. It bothered me when he said it. I didn't even reply to him. I got what they wanted. We paid. I was going to get them something else of my own for them that they liked at that store. It's just because I wanted to. Until then. And so I just decided, well, you know what? We're not getting that here now because of that. But I didn't say nothing. But I wanted to. And some folks would have felt like they needed to. But I'm of the kind I had to be careful, because if I said what I'd wanted to, then I'd have said what I didn't need to. If I'd have got started. You said that got nothing to do with it. No, it does. It's more important to me to affect somebody for Christ. You say he ain't got a clue in the world. I don't know where he does or not. He knows I didn't say nothing back to him. I'd a lot rather him tonight have to remember that group that come in with them girls that opened that box, and I told them to not open them, that their daddy didn't respond to me, than I had for him tonight to be sitting at supper and said, boy, I had a man talk to me rough this week and remember me for that. What I'm saying is this. Jesus handled everything after the garden perfect. And I feel within my soul, it's solely because, you say, because he was Emmanuel, God with us. He's a perfect man. But he put himself in every position that you and I will ever go through to show us, this is how you handle that. And this is what you do when those times come. My granddaddy went through something one time, and I've told it a lot of times. It bothers me more than it ever bothered him, knowing that somebody done him like they done him, sent letters around about him, told lies about him to different places. They went on and flourished as big-time missionaries, and he just kept ticking along doing the things that he done. He got victory over it, went on. I've battled with that thing many times.
times of how they treated my granddaddy. But I found out he conquered it. He didn't conquer it in doing the things that they'd done. He conquered it every morning at 7 o'clock for 1 hour. He talked to God. If you was there, you'd have to wait till his conversation was over. He talked to God every morning for 1 hour when he got up. What is that, Brother Smith? I can tell you what it is. It's time spent in the garden. It's what gives us what we have to make a difference when we leave there. And I can tell you tonight, Jesus ain't the only one that's got to go through a garden. You and I must spend a long time when nobody else knows about it, when nobody else understands. You're going to be sorrowful at times. It's a part of the process of dying. Amen. You said, but he died on the cross. I like to believe he flourished on the cross. I like that to believe when he bloomed on the, when he cried out, it is finished. I like to think eternity was in full bloom at that moment. That's when my heart could be forgiven. That's when the blood was applied for. I know it was conquered completely when he got back up out of the grave, but there wasn't no big battles to fight then. It's already won. It's already conquered. But nevertheless, your will be done. Some say, I pray that all the time. I don't believe it. I don't believe people pray that all the time. Because that's to me, Brother Nick, that's a prayer that a man or woman need to think about before they pray it. That's not just one of them prayers that you just throw out there to God and just see kind of how things work out. You said, Brother Smith, this Friday night, you should have ran us down the aisle. Man, that's all I got. I feel it's time that we do get to the place that we will say, I want your will above everything else in this world. Amen. And I'm not preaching down the street or down the state or across the country. Right here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, what could we be if we just bound together our hearts and said, Lord, not the way I want it to happen and not the direction I would say it needs to go, but thy will be done right here in this assembly of people. Hey, I can tell you this, when we get to eternity, he will answer if we've done it his way or not. I'd like to get there and him look at us as a church and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. As a church, you done it the way I wanted you to do it. You loved the way I wanted you to love. You cared the way I asked you to care. You reached the way I desired for you to reach. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. But I got one preacher friend that said, if you want to hear him say, well done, you'll have to have done well. Amen. He ain't giving heaven away free, and he ain't giving it away to folks who stand in the way. We've got to do it his way. Thy will be done. It's not a pretty sight how we plant a garden. My way is, I'll take the corner of a hoe and walk backwards. Now I learned that from my pawpaw. I put a stick in the ground down there, and a stick in the ground down there. And how I have done before is take my foot and walk and draw a line from one stick to the next. Then I'll take the corner of a hoe and follow that line. There's my furrow for my seed. And then seed by seed in these hands, put them in them places. Ain't nothing pretty about it. It's nasty. It's rough on your back, your knees, everything else. Nothing beautiful about it. But it's hard to beat it to walk out first thing of a morning sometime and look and see that green line coming down the middle of that furrow. Amen. When that corn says, I'm coming. amen, or those peas, or that produce, whatever kind it may be, it says we're coming for. You know what it's saying? We died. Now it's time to live. We surrendered to that dirt. We were hid away for a season. You know what that seed is? It's lonely. It's in the dark. There's nothing else down there with it. It's got nothing to talk to. It's got nothing to spend time with. It's just it's by itself in its own little world. Amen. But the whole time it's dying, it's getting ready to live. Amen. Could I say the same thing for you and I? We're no different than a seed. Sometimes we're in places when we wonder, is there anybody else around? Does anybody else know? Does anybody else care? Sure they do. They're just buried a little further down the line. Amen. But in a little while, we're going to come up. In a little while, we're going to begin to grow. And the singers are going to sing. And the preachers are going to preach. And the prayer warriors is going to pray. But what's it going to do? It's going to bring forth an harvest. The whole garden's necessary. Amen. I need my corn. I need my peppers. I need my peas. I don't just go up there and get the corn and leave all the rest of it to die. I want the whole harvest when it comes up. And can I tell you, God just don't want the preachers to flourish or the deacons to flourish or the laity to flourish. He wants the whole garden. He wants the whole church to produce a fruit that the world could benefit from. We need all of us to be growing. Everybody wants the corn. I'm getting ready to stop. Everybody, man, anybody. If you say, I got a pickup truck of corn, giving it away. Oh, he lined up in the driveway to get it nearly. But don't nobody want to come crawl on their hands and knees with me, digging weeds out of my garden. Don't nobody call me up on the phone and said, just thought I'd come over. I just can't hardly sleep thinking that tomorrow I might get a chance to weed the garden. Never had nobody call me yet and tell me that. I ain't had many people call and say, well, you know what? I've been so excited. I'm about to start a 3-day fast. I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? But when I run down the aisle shouting and rejoicing for what God's doing, it ain't hard to get folks to run with me. You know what I'm saying? Ain't many people wanting to do the hard part. But I can tell you what the book says. The willing and the obedient. That's who's eating the good of the land. If we'll put forth some effort, y'all, if we'll do some things that God would see fit that we do, amen, and we'd obey His voice, that when He come out of that garden, amen, that cross was whipped. Amen. All he cried out about being, I understand he felt forsaken, but you know what? I didn't see where he asked to get out. Amen. He was in redemption mode when he went to that cross, in so much that the man beside him found victory because of Christ. Amen. He didn't look over there and said, you dirty rascal, I'm going through this and don't need to. No, that man said it for himself. He just welcomed him to a better place. Amen. He was so confident on that cross that when he died, that soldier said, surely that's the Son of God. What am I saying to him now? You won't have to tell him you've grown. You won't have to tell him you've been lonely. You won't have to tell him you've been through hard times. The fruits of our labors will tell the story for us. If we're willing to pray, if we're willing to fast, if we're willing to seek His face, bury our faces in His Word, you won't have to worry about having an impact on that world. It comes naturally to those who have died to themselves, amen, and grown to make a product for Christ. Let's stand tonight, everybody that it can and will. Amen. I'd love Duranus. I'd love for somebody to come by me down that aisle running, rejoicing with great victory. But I'd like to leave this church tonight with the encouragement to ask the Lord, Lord, before I ask You to flourish me, before I ask You to bless me, before I ask You to add to who I am, bury me until I die to myself, then bring me forth to produce that You desired for me to produce. You won't have to worry. He'll glorify Himself. You'll get recognition. Amen. But you know, when you die, you won't really be seeking recognition. Amen. That corn That kernel can say, I'm corn all it wants to. It can, and it ain't telling no lie. Amen. It is. It's corn up one side and down the other. But the greatest profit to me is, and the greatest joy to me is when that corn says, I'll die so more corn can come forth. And it lets you put it in that ground. And in a little while, you got, I don't know how many kernels of corn they say is on an ear. There's a number that's on most of them, I think, of a full-grown kernel of corn. What is that? It all came because one died, many could live. Jesus died so the world could live. And you and I will die to who we are. There'll be so many more live than you and I, simply off of the sacrifice of ourself and our wants and our desires.
You want folks to pray through on this altar? Then die on it.
You want some your children and grandchildren to stand up and say, I got it, Granny. I got it, Grandma, Daddy, Mama. You want them to live on that altar. You and I will have to die on that altar. Because where the seed dies is where the seed grows. So if you and I die there, they'll live there. Amen. I'd like to invite as many as will tonight. Could we find us a place around this altar and just seek the face of the Lord? Amen. Just ask him, Lord, would you bury me to myself? Would you hide me away until I come forth in a way and in a manner? God, that I'd produce fruit for you. I'd produce something greater than I am, Lord, more than I am. Multiply what we are. As we die, it comes forth greater than it was when it died. Hallelujah. As many as will. Amen. Let's pray here tonight. Thank God.